Welcome to the One Wyoming Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Thorburn. You can follow me on Twitter at @by_RyanThorburn or bookmark the Pokes Insider page at gowyo.com. Pleased to welcome Heather Ezell, head women's basketball coach at Wyoming, for our third episode. Heather, thanks so much for doing this. First of all, I know you just had a long season that concluded with the grade eight of the WNIT, but thanks for doing this and talking Cowgirls basketball.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me, and always love to talk Cowgirl hoops.
Of course, your second year, I think you have 41 wins in 2 years. That's, by most standards, excellent. I know you guys have bigger goals, though, going forward. Just recap this season. I mean, to get invited to the WNIT, to get the crowds back, to get a lot of the players, most of whom will be returning next year, that extra postseason experience. Overall, just how did you feel about this group?
Yeah, I mean, we look back at our non-conference this year and what a tough, you know, road we had there. But what we wanted to use that for was growth. And I thought our team really grew from each of those games. And then being able to get into conference, you know, started hot. Almost one of those where we didn't want that bye week so early, but, you know, played really, really well early and then kind of hit our little bit of a downward swing there. And, you know, we're scrapping and fighting to get out of that by the time conference tournament hit. And just, I think everybody was very, you know, appreciative of the opportunity to make the WNIT, to be able to get that kind of sour taste out of our mouths from the tournament. And then what a run we had. You know, we really talked as a team, as a staff, of where we need to go ahead and make some changes now instead of waiting for next year. And credit to our players because they bought in. You know, it was really tough to say, hey, we made it to postseason, but you have a bye. And have to really just keep practicing without knowing, you know, when you're playing or who you're playing. But really credit to our team because I thought they came in and really got after it, and we made some of the changes we needed to make.
Yeah, you guys played five NCAA tournament teams, including Nebraska, who they played Iowa as well as anybody beyond South Carolina this year. Creighton and Gonzaga, you played them tough. They are both in the final AP poll. Looking back, do you like scheduling that hard, or did you maybe overdo it a little bit in terms of if you don't win some of those games, maybe the confidence goes a little bit?
Yeah, I thought maybe we were, you know, one game too heavy. And it happened to be, though, the game that we ended up getting late in that schedule is the BYU game, and I wouldn't want to trade it. I thought that game really got us going. You know, obviously a great crowd at home, but for our fans and for the university to have a game at home against BYU, who, you know, everybody remembers them when they're in the league, and just, the hype around that game. So, you know, we were probably pretty set and then had the opportunity to add them, and I couldn't say no to that. So a hair heavy, but at the same time, I do think that we learned from each game.
Yeah, and I mean, the year before you guys played K-State in the WNIT, they obviously were a top 15 team. I think based on Minnesota's young guards and stuff like that, they could be in the NCAA tournament next year. Obviously, that's the goal for you guys. How hard can you explain how hard it is to make it to the NCAA tournament?
You know, it's, I think Matt Painter said it best on Monday night after that. He said, you got to soak all these moments in because you just never know when your opportunity is going to come again. And we can all dream of it. We can all say, hey, when you look at paper, you're going, man, this team's going to be good. They have that chance. But what we've told, and we've done all of our individual meetings, what we've told every player is we can't just come back and think that what we are doing will get us there. We have to be better. We have to put in work this summer, and we have to raise that bar if we want things to change and we want a different outcome. And that's the challenge that we've put on every player is going, hey, just a little bit. I'm not saying I need to move the needle. You know, you don't got to fix five different things. It's fixing one or two things, adding one or two things, getting better at one or two things, and that makes our team better.
Of course, one of those teams was UNLV in the NCAA tournament. You played them twice, overtime and at home. They lose Desiree Young. I'm sure they're going to reload with the next generation of great UNLV players. But, you know, to finish second to them last year, third this year, you know, Allison Fertig, All-Mountain West for the second consecutive year, Emily Melema, All-Defensive Team this season. I mean, you're right there with them. What do you think can put you over the top in the regular season race with those guys?
I think more than anything is just getting, you know, more consistent in our whole team. You're right. Allison, obviously, a great season that she had. I thought Emily really stepped up her level to in a first year to be the starting point guard in our system. You know, she'd played minutes, you know, coming off the bench, but it's totally different when you're running the show. Really, you know, bought in on that defensive end, and it paid off for her. But it's the rest of those players too. You know, we talk about somebody like McKinley Dickerson, who, you know, was an All-Mountain West player, trying to make sure she can get back completely to that. You know, I thought, you know, she saw some glimpses of what we said, old Kenny, but I really like new Kenny, and I think new Kenny has the opportunity to be really, really good next year.
Yeah, you guys return all five starters, and McKinley isn't even one of your starters. Obviously, you know, Allison Fertig, 14.3 points, 8.4 rebounds. I think she had over 50 blocks this year. She's a special player. I think if she has a dominant senior year, she could be on the Mount Rushmore of Wyoming players. What's next for her as a senior, as a Wyoming native, as someone who's been great since day one as a freshman?
The biggest challenge that we've given to her is, you know, getting herself in the best shape of her life where players can't keep up with her. You know, at times I think, you know, teams would be already down at the block before she got there, and it's going, no, I'm going to beat them down there now. She has an opportunity to break a handful of records. And we always talk about, yeah, individual records don't mean anything. But for a player like her, if she breaks those records, that means she's making our team better. We've put in those kind of goals for her just to continue to climb up those record books, because that play and that consistency can only make our team better.
Of course, her recruiting class has turned out to be pretty special. Her and Melama and Tess Barnes. Tess Barnes kind of had a breakout year this year. They're obviously three true seniors for you guys. And then, you know, McKinley and Ola Ustowska are super seniors. So much leadership. Was that an issue coming into this year when you lost, you know, Tommy Olson and Quinn Weideman? And obviously it's not an issue going forward.
Yeah, I think just a little bit. It was that learning curve of, you know, we lost two really great leaders of our program, you know, fifth-year seniors, obviously, with Tommy and Quinn, and throwing a handful of players into roles that they just hadn't been in yet. You know, you returned Allison, who, yeah, she had started, but Molina had started, but you got Emily Tess and Ola all getting into the starting lineup that had never been there before. They're all kind of pushed into that leadership role that they've never been in. Everybody's looking at them now when things aren't going well, going, what do you do? And at the time, you know, they didn't have the answer to start. They slowly started to get there. And I say by the end of the year, you know, we were running really well because those guys were really leading this group. I don't think it will be an issue next year when you look at that, you know, ability. Ola, McKinley have to take on that ownership too, being fifth-year seniors and going, I look at those two. Those are the only two that are left that have been to the NCAA tournament, that have that little bit of taste left in their mouth. And why not, you know, constantly be sharing that with that younger class and getting them on board as well?
Of course, you do lose Marta Savic. I think she was obviously a fan favorite and someone who took a lot of pressure off Allison. And correct me if I'm wrong, but is Marin McKenna going on a Mormon mission?
That is correct, yep, she is.
So obviously Marin had a great freshman year, so she'll be gone for a couple years. How do you see kind of the bench without those two? And especially, you mentioned Allison, do you see her playing more minutes if she does, you know, take her conditioning to another level?
Yeah, what we talked about with losing those two players, you know, it's our two toughest players with Marta and Marin. I thought Marta, just because of being a senior, she's gone through everything. There's nothing that she was afraid of. No environment, no player, no, you know, situation that scared her. Marin just probably didn't know any better. Wasn't afraid, wasn't going to back down. No shot was too big for her. Probably just because she didn't know any better, but we miss that, and we'll need some people to step into those roles that can, you know, one, get our team prepared for that, but then be able to come in and produce. So, you know, that's, you know, a challenge that we've put on, you know, everybody, of where does that come from? Is that a collective thing that we've got to make sure we work on? And then being able to, you know, continue to add, you know, our young kids into the mix, getting them minutes. I hope Al could extend minutes, but at the same time, I want her to, you know, get in the best shape of her life, that she's posting up, you know, harder every chance. And maybe that goes, maybe you're playing at that same mini minute wise, but you're getting more production from her. And then we got to find somebody that can come in and be able to relieve her for those 15, 18 minutes.
And it seems like McKinley and Tess can post up too when they want to. And Obviously, Melma can drive to the hoop when all the attention's on Fertig. Do you see kind of McKinley and Tess, you know, getting even more touches?
I sure hope so. That's something we talked to both of those two about, of there's no shot that we don't want you to take. And that can be from the outside and that can be from the inside. You know, for someone like Tess, I think she's got to own that she can score on the block and be comfortable with that. You know, for McKinley, it's kind of the opposite. She loves getting down there. Now she's got to understand she can't pass up some of the shots she does on the outside because they're just as good. I think it was McKinley that we looked at. If you take away her three-point shooting, she shot still at 60% from the field. That's the same as Allison. So there's no shot I don't want her to take, especially around the rim. And the same thing, though, with Tess.
So obviously, beyond McKenna, you know, Kati Ollalainen had great minutes as a backup point guard at times. Maddie Simmons really got a taste of Mountain West basketball. And then Mike and Hamlin redshirted. Where do you see those three as far as development and contributing next year?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing, you know, starting with somebody like Kati, who we nominated as a, you know, freshman of the year because we thought so highly of her coming in. Unfortunately for her and for our fans, you know, we never saw her completely healthy. She just had those kind of little bit of nagging injuries that we've gotten taken care of, and now it's going, okay, let's rehab and get back. So it'll be fun to see her at 100% because her ability and her quickness, you know, adds something to our game. Somebody like, you know, Maddie Simmons, I think her toughness, I think she has that ability to bring that toughness that we talk about we're losing with Marta and Marin. And just being able to continue to grow her scoring ability. I said, you know, you got to be able to knock down some open shots when they leave you. And if you can do that, that doesn't mean I need you to score 12 points a game. Maybe it's 5 to 6, and then you're adding something more. But at the same time, her ability to go rebound, I think she can steal a couple buckets that way too. Mikan, once again, just a kid that we got to get healthy, but a strong body that I think she picked up motion pretty quickly, and then unfortunately just, you know, dealt with the knee injury and getting that fixed. So hopefully doesn't lose the motion piece of it, and now just getting back into playing and gives us another body there.
I don't want to butcher their names first reference here, but you have three international freshmen coming in that you signed in November. You know, obviously, Fia Proctor from Washington State, and then, you know, a guard from Denmark and a center from Iceland. Can you kind of describe each of those players and how you found them?
Yeah, Sophia from Washington, a kid that can really score in that 3-4 position, has some length, some athleticism that will really add. I say that it'll be great for her to learn under a Tess Barnes for a year and has that same kind of, you know, skill set. Caroline from Denmark is going to be your, you know, spitting image of a McKinley Dickerson, a player that can come in and score at the block, but can also score on the perimeter, can just out-tough her defenders because she's going to be a little bit bigger, a little bit stronger, and just has the ability to flat-out score. And then Heather from Iceland is kind of that, you know, kid that you bring in that you're, I think the upside is just insane. She's a 6'3" post out of Iceland that is longer than long. I think we'll have to, you know, figure out that toughness piece on the block just because it's going to be a little bit different, but has the ability to at least face up and do some different things like that.
Now, you played professionally in Iceland, right?
I did.
Some quadruple doubles.
I did.
How much does that help? Because I know you guys had, you know, on the Mountain West Tournament Championship team, an Icelandic.
Yep, Dainey.
How much does that help to find these hidden gems out there?
You know, it's just always nice because you're always looking for some kind of, you know, little piece that can help you get in the door recruiting international. And when you talk to some kid from Iceland and you're going, well, I lived there for a year, they immediately start, you know, kind of perk up, and not too many people can say that. So I think it just helps us get in the door in a different way of being able to relate. They can talk about some of the teams they're playing. I'm going, oh, yeah, I remember that gym. And I can actually, you know, give them a little piece, and they're going, ah, you remember that. And I think that just builds that relationship and helps in that recruiting piece.
Well, that Iceland's on my bucket list. So if you guys need help and Tom can add to the recruiting budget, I'd love to go. Find the next one with you guys.
You and Ryan both can. We'll send both Ryans out on the recruiting trail, because sometimes I think that's what Ryan wants to do too, is just hit the places you haven't been to.
And I'd be remiss. I mean, just talking about Caroline, I forgot to even mention that you guys have Melina Peterson coming back, who is, you know, one of the most solid fan favorite players out there, I think she could take a big step going forward too.
Absolutely. I think what the, you know, big shock for Molina was, she kind of came in and surprised everybody her freshman year, you know, wins freshman of the year. And then happens to be, I think she got moved pretty far up that scout, and it probably went Allison Molina. And they started to really keen on her, where maybe that wasn't the case her freshman year. And she had to, you know, work through some of that of going, I got the toughest defender, you know, on the perimeter guarding me now. I think she played some of her best basketball here at the end. So I'm hoping that kind of propels her into next year and preparing herself, going, it doesn't matter who you want to try and guard me. I can take advantage.
So by my math, do you have two scholarships available?
We have one.
One.
One left, yep.
So are you thinking about scouring the portal, or and what are you looking for if you do add a piece?
Yeah, be transparent on it. We're going, we got to find the right person. I can't just go, hey, go into the portal and try and grab anybody and say, yeah, come to our, you know, program, because that could screw it all up. You know, we return a lot of pieces, and we always say it just takes one bad apple to ruin the bunch. And so you really got to be, you know, pretty picky in that case and really looking at that five position, thinking, hey, maybe we get one more there that can, you know, help. Obviously Allison, but, you know, hey, they're coming in just being a freshman. Maybe we get somebody out of the portal that has some, you know, college experience and seeing what we can do there. So getting a couple visits set up for that. And then we got two kids we're signing here in the spring signing period that'll come through in a couple days that we'll all see and be excited about those two too.
Obviously the men's portal situation is insane, what Jeff's dealing with. Your stability is incredible, but I have noticed an uptick on the women's side in portal activity. Is that something you're concerned about, or you think the culture and the type of recruits you get, they know that, you know, they're going to play early, they're going to develop, they're going to graduate, and they're going to move on type of thing?
Yeah, I really do think it's something that, you know, not just us as coaches, but, you know, Wyoming athletics in a general has done such a great job with women's basketball and supporting it and, you know, putting the money into it to help build that culture, that we just don't see players leave. I had that conversation with Marta, because I've said this numerous times. Any other player in her position would have transferred and said, no, I want to go be the star somewhere else instead of being a backup. And, you know, she said it today. She's like, it would have never felt right. She's like, you guys put so much into me and I have put so much into you that why would I want to leave a place like this that, you know, has my stamp on it? And that, I think that's exactly it. We invest so much in growing these players when they come in as freshmen that it's hard for them to go, I want to leave this. They've invested so much into me that I can't say bye and just walk out.
I know traditionally you guys like to give the players a chance to exhale after the season in the summer and stuff like that. A lot of them go home and stuff like that. I mean, I remember after the Mountain West tournament when you guys lost, you said you need to crank up the heat and get it to a boil this off season. Remember that loss. What do you want to see them do in the off season? Do you want more kids staying? Do you want, you know, more intense workouts, player led? How do you, what do you want to take it to that next level?
Yeah, you know, I'm still going to, you know, really fall into the piece of going, we all need a break sometimes. Yeah, I think we all can get better and we all can put in that extra work this summer. But I always say you make yourself better when the coaches aren't watching. If you can be able to do that work while we're not around, then what are you going to look like when we are around? So it's still not required that you're going to be here in the summer. We've opened up the month of July for if you want to be here, yep, we'll work you out. We'll get going. But at the same time, we all kind of need that release. But what we talked about more than anything is what we did the last 2 to 3 weeks of practice, you know, after the Mountain West tournament. We changed it. You know, we got after it. You know, maybe it was 90 minutes, maybe 100 minutes of practice, but it looked different. And our workload was different. And it wasn't going, hey, we got 10 drills we got to do. No, it's 3 drills. And we got to do these the right way. And every piece of this drill matters. And I think we really bought into that. And that's the piece that we got to carry over to the fall and go, okay, when it starts, you know, August 30th, you know, we got to have that same mindset of going, no matter what drill we're doing today, we got to do every piece of it the right way.
The Mountain West put out kind of a cool video this week about the 2007 WNIT championship. Obviously, they won it, the whole thing, Joe Ligurski's team, 15,000 at the championship game. I think the Mountain West point was that women's basketball at Wyoming has been popular for a while now. That was probably the moment they put it over the top. I think Joe City had 15 season ticket holders when he started, and now it's I don't know what exactly it is, but it's quite a bit. Just how, as someone who was a star player a while ago at Iowa State, what's it like to see the growth of the sport, especially you know, with your rivals there and Caitlin Clark?
Yeah, what's fun to see is, you know, when I played, I feel like it was the same five teams, you know, constantly in the Final Four every other year. And what you've been seeing the past, you know, 3-4 years is the different, you know, teams starting to really take it up, and just continuing the growth of women's basketball, and just the players in general are now choosing to go someplace else than what it used to be: UConn, Tennessee, Stanford, Notre Dame. And now it's going, you look at, you know, NC State in the Final Four for both men's and women's. I think that's huge. A team that you haven't seen there in a very long time. Iowa, obviously, you know, it hurts me to say it, but the growth that you know, Caitlin Clark has added to our game, and back-to-back, you know, national championships for Iowa. Haven't seen that in a long time. What Dawn Staley's done at South Carolina is incredible. There's no doubt about it. And I just, the way that this game has continued to grow, but it more than anything, it's these players and coaches that have allowed the game to grow. And, you know, players choosing something different outside the box, and coaches allowing them to be who they are and take logo threes in a sense, and, you know, talk a little trash. And the game's just grown where it just creates a new excitement that you really enjoy watching. And I think fans are starting to really buy in. And obviously across the world, the ratings are going through the roof, and it makes it fun to see what's next.
Yeah. I looked it up because I used to cover Seal Berry's teams at Colorado in the old Big 12. And I remember Iowa State's fans at the Big 12 tournament were always crazy back then. You had 287 made threes at Iowa State. How many do you think Caitlin made at Iowa?
Oh, I think it's like 400 and something, right? Or
I think it's 548.
Ah, see, that's crazy. We joked about this just the other day. I was down before practice, and I'm just kind of shooting around and whatnot, and I looked over to our other coaches that were sitting there, and I go, man, I wish I could have pulled from the logo when I was playing. But at that time, oh, man, I think I would have got benched for the rest of the game if I would have done that. It just wasn't part of it. It wasn't something you did. And I felt like I still had the green light to shoot, but definitely not from that distance.
You mentioned it. I think the key is obviously, you know, Iowa's in the Midwest, Notre Dame's in the Midwest, but UConn's brand and Paige Becker's from the Northeast. You have obviously South Carolina and LSU in the South. Stanford, shout out to Tara Vandiver, she's retiring, but West Coast basketball is really good, USC, Oregon State. I mean, I don't know if it's going to continue without Caitlin, but the women's Final Four drew more eyeballs on TV than the men's. That's got to mean a lot to you.
That, and I think what the price certificate was like triple for what it would be to go to the men's Final Four as opposed to the women. It makes me so happy to see the way that our game has grown. And the next Caitlin Clark is coming. You know, I don't know who it is right now. I don't know where she'll be at, but there's going to be someone that comes out and steals the show just like she did. And you look at a kid like Juju Watkins at USC, and I think she's next year, you're going to be watching highlights on her at Sports Center. And there's going to be someone somewhere else. And that's where it's just continuing to grow, because there is going to be that next one. And what Caitlin has done and some of these other players have done for, you know, women's basketball has allowed those players that are up and coming to go, I can do that too.
I mean, we've talked about the support Wyoming has, and obviously the WNIT, you started to get the magic back rolling a little bit. With Allison Fertig, I mean, she's going to be a Mountain West Player of the Year candidate. She's from Wyoming. People are familiar with her. Do you see a chance to grow it even in Wyoming with her, you know, beyond the 2,000 loyalists that show up regardless, to, you know, maybe grow the student body, grow some more people driving from distance to get here?
You can always hope so. I think, you know, people know Allison. They know her name. They know her face and what she's done already here. I think it takes, you know, one game where maybe, and, you know, knock on wood because I hope this happens, that, you know, she goes off for a 40 and 29. And people go, oh, my, I need to go see this girl. I need to see this person in person and watch her play. And I think that's what it takes, is that one thing for somebody's light bulb to go, oh, I got to go watch that. That's what Caitlin Clark did. Somebody, you know, you see all the highlights of her shooting from the three, you know, from the logos and things like that. And then all of a sudden people are going, I want to see it. I want to see it in person. And I think, you know, if Al has one of those nights that you're just going, that was incredible, you might see an uptick in students and some season ticket holders and just the regular fan that comes out, and that attendance just continues to grow that way.
Yeah, I mean, she was having one of those against Creighton, and then, you know, in the end they pull away, and then Boise State in the Mountain West Tournament, she was tracking for a triple-double with blocks. I think, to your point, something like that could definitely happen, especially early in the season.
Yeah, if she puts up some number like that, I mean, like I said, at one, I'll be putting it on Overwear and telling everybody, you got to come see this kid in person. But at the same time, it's not something that she can't do. It's not an unrealistic goal, because I've seen it happen. You know, we've seen her be right there close, and you know, she's had games where you're just going, oh my gosh, if we would have fed you the ball a few more times, who knows what would have happened.
All right, Heather, thanks so much for joining the One Wyoming podcast. We'll do it again, you know, as we get closer to next season. Everyone, make sure you subscribe, rate, review, Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, and tell a friend, and thanks for tuning in.